Super Bowl 55 matchup doesn't get much better than that. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to First Take. Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman. I'm Molly Karam Rose. Good morning, gentlemen. I want to start with an interesting story, fellas, involving the Chiefs. So 20 players and staff members, Patrick Mahomes being one of them, were in line to get a haircut with a barber who tested positive for COVID-19. That according to Adam Schefter. Let me continue here. So backup's Chiefs center, Daniel Kilgore, was in the chair when the Chiefs pulled the barber once his COVID-19 test results came in, Schefter reported. Kilgore and the barber both were wearing masks, and because Kilgore was deemed a close contact, he told the barber to finish. A source had initially told ESPN that Kilgore was mid-haircut when the barber was pulled. Max, we just need to react to this quickly for a second. You can't make this stuff up.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, look, I remember the story about the salon. Do you guys remember this a couple months back with the three women who worked in the salon and they tested positive for COVID? And they'd seen over 100 people, 100 clients over a certain time period, and either very few or none. It was like it was a success story. Had COVID. Very few had contracted it because the three women had worn masks. And they follow protocol, Stephen A. And what we've seen is that that is very, very helpful in stopping the spread because the particles that come out of your mouth when you talk, you know, the louder, the more you talk in a closed space, the less air there is. So the more kind of stuff that's coming out of your mouth is a proportion of what's around you. That infects other people. Your mask is not there to protect you. It's there to protect the other person. Their mask is there to protect you. So Stephen A., what happened here, you can contract COVID accidentally, even if you do everything right. And the point is to take precautions to lower the risk as much as possible. Stephen A., it seems like that's what was done here.
Well, listen, I don't know if y'all can hear me or not because I can't hear y'all right now. Some technical difficulties. But let me tell you this just in case you can hear me, all right? Listen, here's the deal, okay? We got to take COVID-19 seriously. We understand that. But I also want to applaud the NFL because you had the safety protocol measures in place. Nobody was in violation of those things. The barber obviously tested positive, and as a result, people who were on the list didn't get a haircut, so they weren't exposed. And anybody like Kilgore or others who were exposed are being quarantined. We get all of that, and we shouldn't have any players missing a game because of the barbershop. But for those out there that want to be critical of these athletes, I would like to say this. Haircuts are very, very important. Some of these brothers need it. They need it bad. Okay, they need it very, very bad. Now, I'm sitting there. I'm not late making light of it. I'm only making light of the situation because there's no positive test outside of the barber, and we wish him well. But I'm just saying, for people out there that are saying, damn, the Super Bowl is coming up, even though I'm an advocate of staying the hell away from everybody because you can't risk missing the Super Bowl, haircuts are very, very important. And some dudes desperately need them. Patrick Mahomes would be one of those people, by the way. He kind of needs a haircut from time to time, okay? He does. If LeBron decided to get a haircut, I support that. Absolutely. Kevin Durant, I support that. Odell Beckham Jr. got the line going on or whatever. But sometimes, he really don't need a haircut. He need a hairdo. A different kind of hairdo, one would say. That's my brother. I love him. But I'm just making fun of him.
Molly.
I'm just saying this up to you. Hey, and by the way, me. Now, see, Max, I don't need a haircut. I need a hairline. There's a difference. There's two different things, okay?
That's
right. Hairline, okay? Not a haircut. All right. My haircut is fine. The hairline.
Stephen A. is just going to have a little patch of hair in the back and go get that lined up.
There we go. Yo, hair club for men, here I come. Hair club for men, here I come.
Stephen A.,
all I'm trying to say is that.
You look great, especially for your age. All right, I just have to say one thing.
It's very important, Molly. It's very important.
I see some
beautiful women such as yourself. Beautiful women such as yourself, you know, you take care of yourself in the whole bit. And obviously we assume that it's just women that literally prioritize stuff like that. Oh, hell no. Men believe in barbers. My brother Marlon, my man Chris Brock from Philly who now lives in Houston, my man Marlon in Long Island. It's mandatory. I got to have them because, again, I need the cut. Now, they can't do nothing about the line, Max. They can't do anything for me about the line.
You're doing
great. But I damn sure need a cut. Yes, I did. I got one a couple of days ago.
The Kilgore picture was absolutely hilarious. But you know what stood out to me most from the story? I know how particular men are with their barber. I couldn't believe 20 guys were just getting a haircut by a random barber. Usually people are
stuck,
like flying
Molly.
Their guy in so specific.
No,
they
can't.
That's what actually stood out to me in this story the most.
The NFL won't allow it, Molly. The NFL, to address safety protocols, yep. They said, excuse me, you got to come in the bubble. You got to get tested. Approved before you come in. So there is a barber that you have to use. And under those circumstances, we'll make exceptions. We go on the road. First Take is going on the road. I've had to get a haircut from a few people that I didn't want to get haircut from, and they made my line in worse, if that was possible. These are things that happen. You take those risks. It's necessary sometimes,
I'm real particular with this hair. All right.
There we go. Let's
keep it moving here, guys. And we're working on getting Louis Riddick with us as well. So let's get to the big game on Sunday. We'll talk about some football now. So Patrick Mahomes has certainly accomplished more in his first few years than most of the all-time greats have accomplished in their careers. Here's Chief CEO Clark Hunt on what he thinks of his superstar quarterback.
It's amazing the success that Patrick has had so early in his career. I mean, really, you know, more so than Michael Jordan had early in his career. It took Michael a few years before he won his first championship, and you know, Patrick in year one had us on the cusp of making the Super Bowl, and unfortunately, the Patriots didn't let it happen that year. But we're just blessed to have him, and it's going to be, you know, a fun 10-plus year career for Patrick in Kansas City.
Sure are blessed to have him. Talk about an understatement. Oh, look who's here. Is that Tampa?
That man doesn't need a haircut.
Louis Riddick of Monday Night Football fame with an excellent suit on. Good to see you. It's been way too long.
He don't need a haircut.
He's bald and beautiful.
At all.
Stephen A.
He's good.
Nope. He's just glowing. Glowing in his natural element. I like that. Low maintenance. Stephen A., I want to start with you. Do you think it's fair, Stephen A., to compare Mahomes to MJ?
No, it's not. Mahomes is phenomenal. He's fantastic. He's a champion. We get all of that. Last time I checked, he doesn't play defense. He doesn't play special teams. When you look at Michael Jordan, it's just comparing apples and oranges. The fact of the matter is, when you're a basketball player, particularly a superstar basketball player, you can have more of an impact because you're playing on both ends of the court. You're playing offense and you're playing defense. We're talking about somebody in Michael Jordan that was all first team, all NBA defensive team 9 times. On the defensive side of the ball. Forget the fact that he averaged over 30 and led the league in scoring at about 10 times. Or forget about that. Forget about the 6 championships, the 6 finals, MVPs, all of that stuff. We know what he could do offensively. But he also was dominant on the defensive end of the floor. That's not Patrick Mahomes. That's not any football player. And that's what we've got to take into consideration. Remember, we marveled at Bo Jackson, who not only played two sports, who played two sports, actually. We marveled at primetime Deion Sanders because he could play. He was the elite cornerback, the best to ever do it, but he also could play wide receiver, particularly when he was in Dallas. We marveled at stuff like that because it's such an aberration and it's something that you simply do not see in the sport of football. We have to take that into consideration. Patrick Mahomes is phenomenal. I'm not taking anything away from him. But let's stick to him as a quarterback. When we start talking about comparing him to MJ, I think that's going a bit too far. I don't subscribe to that theory at all.
It is fair to compare him to MJ so far, because obviously we're not saying he plays defense. It's two different sports, and even a quarterback does not have as much sway on the success of his team as a superstar in the NBA. So in that sense, there'll never be a Michael Jordan of football, and there never really has been. Remember when we used to say, who's the GOAT? When we were kids, it was like Jerry Rice, I guess, but he's not a quarterback. And now it's Tom Brady, right? But it's not like when your eyes were on Tom Brady, you said, oh, that's the best I've ever seen. Mahomes is the first, Lawrence Taylor maybe, but he was a defensive player and his prime wasn't 20 years long. Walter Payton, some people, again, not a quarterback. When you look at Patrick Mahomes, let me tell you why it's fair to compare him to Jordan. When you put your eyes on MJ, right out the gate, you were like, that just looks different. I know Dr. J and his contemporary was Dominique Wilkins. He looks different than those guys. The eyeball test says you're looking at something different. And then the numbers backed it up. You know, you saw the success. It's like, oh, my God, yeah, the numbers verify what my eyes are seeing. And then the team success as soon as they put another all-star with Jordan. Just one. First time he played with another all-star, Scottie Pippen, it was a wrap for the rest of the NBA. 6 for 6. No game seven in the finals, right? He was unlike anything we'd seen before. So what does it mean to be the Michael Jordan of your sport? Does it simply mean you're the best? No. It means you're the best and it ain't close. That when you put your eyes on the guy, you've never seen anything like it. The numbers tell you the same thing and the team success backs it all up. Patrick Mahomes, the first time he started, the first time, went to the AFC Championship game. A defensive pre-snap penalty lost him the game, or else I think he would have won the Super Bowl. Remember, Tom Brady threw an interception, game over. Oh, they get the ball back. Mahomes never touches it again. That was the lowest scoring Super Bowl in history against the Rams. I have to believe the Chiefs score enough to beat the Rams. He should be working on a three-peat right now. He threw 50 touchdowns and 12 interceptions and won MVP. First time he touches the ball as a starter, guys. Now, the next season he gets even better in terms of the rates, touchdown, interception, everything, wins Super Bowl MVP. So when you first saw Mahomes early in that preseason, and Lewis Riddick was raving about him, and I came out on this show and said, after watching him in the preseason, guys, I'm going to tell my grandkids I saw this guy throw. He reminds you of Brett Favre, but without the mistakes. He reminds you of Aaron Rodgers, but with more gunslinger in him. I've never seen that before, my eyes told me. And then the numbers started telling the same story. The MVP and the Super Bowl MVP, and here he is again in the Super Bowl. And guys, they're favored to win, but they should be the underdogs. Their offensive line is in tatters. The Bucs are firing on all cylinders, defense, offense, everything. They're at home, but the Chiefs are favored. And it's not because of Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. They're excellent. It's because people don't even realize how good they think Patrick Mahomes is. If you take any quarterback in the history of football and put him in Patrick Mahomes' place right now, the Chiefs are underdogs. In that way, he's like Michael Jordan. It is a fair comparison so far.
Yeah, I think this is all about impact. And I think, look, Stephen, I get your point, because when you're trying to compare football to basketball, we understand the limitations that football has in terms of the ability of football players to impact, you know, us societally on a global perspective the same way basketball players can. Because of the fact that they play, you know, two positions in basketball, offense and defense, because they're more visible, they don't wear helmets and all, these guys have a worldwide impact that is far greater than, you know, any other sport, you know, maybe other than soccer, obviously. But I think for Patrick in particular, when you're making this comparison, I'm with you, Max, in this regard. He does things at a level the likes of which, honestly, people who have played the game, people who are playing the game, are all admitting we've never seen it like that before. And that's what reminds you of Michael Jordan. When we saw Michael Jordan first come into the league, there were people saying, we've never seen a guy fly like this, dunk like this, move like this, explode like this. And you're saying the same thing about Patrick now, playing a position that obviously is one of the most scrutinized, one of the most valuable positions in all sports, that being football. And he's doing it at a young age, right out of the gate. Right out of the gate, he's successful individually. Right out of the gate, his team is successful as far as winning Super Bowls. And had they gone to three Super Bowls, if this was the third Super Bowl they were going to and not just the second, and he does win this game, and then it's about the longevity. If he's able to string together four, five, six of them, like Tiger Woods talked about, you know, and ESPN picked up where he said, look, it's not just about flashes. It's about longevity. It's about staying power. Can you sustain this for a decade? If Patrick's able to string together those types of things, I don't think there's any question that you'll be talking about his impact on sports overall the same way you talk about the all-time greats in their respective sports. And to me, Michael Jordan, there is no one like that. There really isn't. I mean, he is, when you talk about, I remember going to see Michael Jordan play down in Atlanta when I lived down there. I remember going to see him at the Spectrum in Philadelphia, you know, against Charles Barkley. And literally sitting there, this starry-eyed, like watching him play, going, he's just like, he doesn't seem human. He shouldn't be able to do these things that he's doing because no one else can do them. It's the same way when you watch Patrick Mahomes. He shouldn't be able to do the things that he's doing because we've never seen anybody else do them. And I know that kind of, you know, those kind of grandiose proclamations are hard to get your mind around for people. But, you know, as someone who played with Deion Sanders and literally watched him do things that I'd never thought I'd see someone do before, I get the same feeling watching Patrick, talking to Patrick like I've talked to him, and continuing to watch him grow, that this guy's going to go down as one of the greatest individual players within the team context that we have ever seen.
Lewis.
Ever.
No one with sense would dispute what you're saying about Patrick Mahomes' greatness and what we will go down saying about him when all is said and done. But I must ask you a question, because when we're talking about him, we're not talking about results, guys. We understand that there's a whole bunch of components that come into the equation that dictate ultimate results. We're talking about his greatness as a talent. Are you sitting here with a straight face, Lewis Riddick, and telling me you've never seen anybody like, you've never seen Aaron Rodgers do any of these things? It's never happened?
Stephen A., I know how much you love Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, I do.
I love Aaron Rodgers. I love Aaron Rodgers.
Get him, Lou.
Patrick has a level of skill in his arm that is like go-go gadget-like. It's different, man. It's just flat out different. And I know this is a subjective thing, right? There's no way to really quantify this as to who has more arm talent. You can't put him on some kind of machine and measure his arm talent next to Aaron's, next to John Elway's, who I played against, Dan Marino's, who I played against, all these guys. This guy, though, is different. And I think people, his peers, present day and guys who played before him, would tell you the same thing. I don't know if we've ever seen anything
Let me throw
like
this
that.
In. And, Let me throw this in. Because I will defer. I will openly defer to you. You know better than me. I got that.
But it's subjective, Stephen. You know, I asked that question
in this respect. Because when I think about, and I've often said this to Max, in the history of football, I have never seen a successful quarterback throwing to himself. Who you throw to matters.
True.
When I think about Air Coryell with Dan Fouts, who could fling the football, I think about Charlie Joyner. I think about Kellen Winslow. Okay, Kellen Winslow Sr. When I thought about Dan Marino, I couldn't forget that, damn it, Mark Clayton and Mark Super Duper were his targets. I mean, it was something special to behold. And we know that Dan Marino couldn't scramble, but we know he could fling the football. I'm looking at Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and I'm just saying to myself, if I'm going to say what you say about Patrick Mahomes, Max, Lewis, what I always say to myself, away from y'all, just sitting at home watching, is this. If Aaron Rodgers was throwing the football to them, would he look worse?
Well, let me flip it.
I don't think so.
Let me flip it around.
Sure.
Let me flip it around, because I do get this. I get this point, if this is the point, Stephen A. Michael Jordan came around. We've never seen anything like him. I thought by the time his third full season, right, because he got hurt his second year, that's the greatest player of all time. I don't know why people weren't admitting it at the time. He should have won the MVP every year. I mean, Larry Bird knew it, and he was the champion of basketball at the time. He was the MVP, and he was like, that dude's better
than
me.
Welcome God and Jim Schultz.
But Bird didn't play like Jordan. Bird didn't play like Jordan. I was a little kid. I was like, oh, my God, I hate Larry Bird. I'm a Knicks fan. But who's ever going to be better than that? And then Jordan came along. The difference with Mahomes is there is a dude who is very similar to him who come along named Aaron Rodgers. There's no two ways about that. That is a difference. Rodgers is closer to Mahomes than anyone was to Jordan at the time he played. But could you imagine Mahomes on that Green Bay team this year in the red zone before the end of the first half going 0-for-3, and they have to kick a field goal? Could you imagine him at the end of the game seeing daylight, not running, and missing a receiver? Like, Mahomes has the extra element to me that Rodgers doesn't, that gunslinger thing that Favre had, that extra little juice that makes you believe at all times his team is going to win because they have him. He's like, I keep saying, Favre and Rodgers had a baby. It's all the best qualities of each without any of the drawbacks.
But what makes me uncomfortable with that is that we act like Patrick Mahomes has been perfect all the time. We watched the Super Bowl last year, and I hate talking about it because I know how great and phenomenal he is, and I think he's great for the NFL. He's great for the world of sports. Great guy, great team leader, great talent, the whole bit. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. I'm just not going to throw any shade on Aaron Rodgers in that regard. And I'm looking at Patrick Mahomes for the first 3.5 quarters of the Super Bowl last year. He looked incredibly normal. It's not like everything he touches is gold every second. He overcomes a lot of things, but he does find himself in situations where he's been less than stellar, just like the greats, like Aaron Rodgers and others have. That's all I'm saying. And I look at Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Yeah. You give me Aaron Rodgers with those brothers, and I don't see different results. I just don't see it.
Okay.
That's me, Lewis. That's me, Lewis.
Know what Rodgers is.
Got to wrap it up here.
I don't think there's any question. I don't think there's any question. Look, Stephen, I get your point as far as, you know, in football, that's what we love about football. What we love about football is the fact that it is an ultimate team game, and he can't throw and catch the passes. And we all know that it's one of those situations where relationships and teamwork are important for players to ascend individually as well. So I get that. I'm just saying this strictly as an individual talent. I think his impact on this game, on our game, on football, the way we love it, is going to be maybe greater than maybe any player we've ever seen. Because
of just how special
and unique his individual talent is. And that's what Michael did for basketball.
I got one for you. Stephen A. To me, Rodgers to Mahomes is like, imagine if Kobe came first and then you got MJ. It's almost the same thing. Where there's an advantage, it goes to MJ. That's how I feel about Mahomes versus Rodgers.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You get paid a ton of money to do a certain job and just do it and let the chips fall where they may. I think we make too much money to voice an opinion, but I'm not saying he's wrong. I think it's a different day and time, and it'll be interesting to see how the organization handles it.
Here we go. That was Brett Favre talking about Deshaun Watson. Well, Watson's agent, David Mulugeta, clapped back tweeting this. Brett should probably stop throwing stones in that glass house he's sitting in. Meanwhile, here's what Dick Vermeil had to say about the Watson situation.
I'm a little disappointed, to be honest with you, because, you know, the image that he has presented coming out of college and through the draft and through his career so far in Houston has been so positive, so positive. And I don't think this approach really reflects what he has presented over the past few years. So I'm disappointed, you know, and I just don't think we can, anybody, whether it be that football team or the other 31 teams, start allowing players to step in and make decisions who runs them, who coaches them, and all these kinds of things. If you want to make all the decisions as an owner, then buy your own team.
Then buy your own team. Stephen A., talk to me.
I'm disappointed to hear what Dick Vermeil has to say. I understand where he's coming from because he's very, very old school. By all accounts, he's a good man. He's a champion. He's somebody to be respected. I know how loved he is in Philadelphia, but that's a very archaic point of view. And thank God he's not coaching in the NFL today, because with that kind of thinking, he would have been fired, because nobody would have wanted to play for a man who thinks like that. Let me be very, very clear. When Dick Vermeil says what we just played him saying, I would have had far more respect for what Dick Vermeil had to say if he would have brought up things about the Houston Texans. You talk about giving somebody a pass. you're so focused on Deshaun Watson and how he wants to make decisions or he wants to make moves, et cetera, et cetera. And you're so dismissive of what he has to say in terms of if you want to make all the decisions, then buy a team, knowing that it's a good old boys club. There's some African-Americans out there with some dough that would love to put their resources together and own an NFL team. But guess what? You have to be allowed in. And they've allowed, to tell you what the NFL is all about, they've allowed some individual, Shad Khan from Pakistan, if I remember correctly, to own a team before they've allowed some African-Americans to gain an ownership share, at least a significant majority ownership share in a franchise. So that's a different subject to be broached another day. But what I'm saying about Dick Vermeil is, how do you not bring up what led Deshaun Watson to this point? You highlighted how coming out of college, he didn't have this image. You highlighted what a good dude he was. We know how electrifying he was this year, led the league in passing with over 4,800 yards passing, averaging over 300 yards passing per game, completing over 70% of his passes, being an absolute stud outside of Patrick Mahomes. Can you definitively say there's somebody else with that talent and that youth that you would want more than Deshaun Watson? I mean, come on now. This man is going about the business of doing his job. And if you're the Texans, what did you do in return? You gave him his money, but essentially Dick Vermeil is ignoring all of the things that they did to alienate Deshaun Watson. The moves that Bill O'Brien and the Texans made, the fact that they didn't take him into consideration. And it's not about his emotions. It's not just about that. It's about the fact that he's looking at an organization that appears to be incredibly dysfunctional. So much so that you had coaches out there that didn't want the job, which is why they had to go and give it to a man who's 65 years of age, black, and oh, by the way, was in the league for 27 years and couldn't get a damn job as a head coach. But suddenly he's your new head coach in Houston. That's the route that they had to go. No disrespect to Mr. David Culley, because I'm wishing him nothing but the best. But the bottom line is that's the route you had to go, because other qualified candidates that had better reputations didn't even want the job. Dick Vermeil brings none of that up. He just goes the route of looking at the player and saying, excuse me, you know what? Essentially, shut up and play. We've heard this before. We didn't hear it when Brett Favre retired. He was threatening to retire on numerous occasions, holding the Green Bay Packers hostage, then retired and then unretired because he wanted to get traded and ended up getting traded to the Jets because he really wanted to stay in the NFC North and they wouldn't oblige. So he went to the Jets for a year before ending up in Minnesota. We didn't hear anything then. We didn't hear anything when Carson Wentz essentially did the same damn thing to the Cincinnati Bengals. But Deshaun Watson does it. And now all hell's breaking loose and everybody's talking about how he's out of pocket. I wonder why that is. I don't know. I can guess, but I won't. I just wish that Dick Vermeil was a bit more expansive with his comments, as well as I wish Brett Favre was too.
Stephen A., as you might say, let me put it more direct than you and take it to that place. Let's be honest about what's happening with Deshaun Watson. Look, the organization is a mess. It's dysfunctional. Bill O'Brien pulled a move with DeAndre Hopkins that obviously would enrage anyone who ever lived in Deshaun Watson's position. And Deshaun Watson is someone who's ever lived. So he's enraged, too, by it, I'm sure. And then the proof is in the pudding. He balled out of control, and the team still was awful, right? So we understand it's dysfunctional. But, Stephen A., is it just about dysfunction? Or do you suspect, as I do, as many people do, that Deshaun Watson has a problem with McNair, with Cal McNair, right? He has a problem. I don't think he thinks his heart is in the right place, because of his politics and who he supports and what they stand for, because of the track record in the organization he hires, as was reported, for hundreds of thousands of dollars, a consulting firm who go get us our best, the best people. And when the best people come back, and Stephen A., they ain't white, they go in a different direction, don't they? Let's be honest, that's part of what's going on here. So sure. I think it is insensitive for Dick Vermeil to ignore it. But I want to read you something that I found this, you know, after Dick Vermeil made his comments today from PennLive.com. Mm-hmm. It's an interview with Dick Vermeil. Okay, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Did race relations occur to him as part of his job at Stanford? Quote, it was on our minds at Stanford in the mid-60s. There was starting to be a revolt with black athletes, especially the track athletes. How did he treat it? Well, I was young and didn't know what I know now. I was probably a little critical, thinking the scholarship athletes should be a little more appreciative of their opportunity and express it that way. But remember, I'm 83 years old, so I grew into our society as it is today, starting way behind where they are today. Because Dick Vermeil talked about his background and the prejudices that he grew up, that were around him as he grew up, and what he had to learn as an adult. And I would like to give him the benefit of the doubt here and think that the learning process is still occurring for him, as it should for all of us, as things change around us. And he is not being sensitive enough, and maybe he can be sensitized, to what in fact is the issue with Deshaun Watson. Well, I don't think it's merely for him labor issue versus management, stay in your place. I think he needs to be sensitized to the undercurrent of this issue, the racial component of this issue with Deshaun Watson and the Texans.
Well, first of all, Max, let me completely applaud you for what you brought up, because that was great information that you provided. So thank you for giving me and this audience that. I'm dead serious about that. I really appreciate that. But I would beg to differ with your with your conclusion, because I think the very facts that you just presented really eradicates the notion of him being him needing to be a bit more sensitized. If you've acknowledged what you were in the 60s and how you had to grow with the times to elevate your level of appreciation for what was going on, what disenfranchised people from disenfranchised communities had to endure, et cetera, et cetera.
No, no.
How the hell do you forget that in the year 2020 to say what he said about Deshaun Watson?
I think you're missing my point.
He sounds like the same guy is what I'm trying to say.
I appreciate that.
I'm not saying you're saying it. I'm saying he sounds like the same guy that he described
in the 60s. I appreciate what you're saying, but here's the distinction I'm making, Stephen A. There are overlapping issues here. There's the labor issue versus ownership, right? Hey, stay in your place, labor.
Right.
And there's the overlapping issue that oftentimes in the NFL, labor is black and ownership is white. I think Dick Vermeil is focused on the labor stay in your place issue, and maybe, I'm hoping, not sensitized enough to the racial component of it. Now, if he has taken that into account too and still says what he says, then Dick Vermeil, I disagree with, and I have a problem with what he said.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits, like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Our next guest is one of the biggest reasons Bills Mafia is back. There he is, Stefon Diggs. Good to see you, sir. Joining us on behalf of new Old Spice Dynasty, available at Target, so fresh and so clean. Don't give me a shopping cart in Time to Kill and Target, because I'll tear that store up. But let's talk about this season that you're having. You led the league in receptions and receiving yards. What has been the biggest difference for you from Minnesota to upstate New York?
I would say passing. You know, this is a pass-heavy offense that I'm in now. Coming from a more run-heavy offense, you're coming from a place where as though you might not be getting as many targets or as many opportunities. Just so it's more opportunities with this new offense. That's all. You kind of don't want to overthink it and make it into more than what it is, but it's more opportunities when they're throwing the ball at least like 30, 40 times a game.
Stefon, congratulations on the season. Congratulations for proving to be the stud that you are, and you always said that you would be. Major props to you. I want you to speak to things in generalities, not necessarily Deshaun Watson, but I want you to speak to just a relationship between player and management? Because as this news is percolating in the National Football League now about Deshaun and the Houston Texans, once upon a time, you had some issues with Minnesota. And you highlighted the absence of honesty. And that had a lot to do with you wanting to go in a different direction. Could you speak, as a present-day NFL player, what that means to y'all in terms of the relationship that you have with management and some people out here feeling like some of y'all should just shut up and play and not do anything else?
This was a very unique situation. My situation was very unique in itself just because the things that I voiced as far as like being in a, you know, work world where as though you trust the people that you're working with, you want to trust them, you want to, you know, have that relationship where as though you're building and you're on the same page. But we don't live in a shut up and play world anymore, not at all, in no way, shape, or form. And everything that's going on and people realizing their power and players understanding how much they mean, they just want to have a say in the things that take place. You know, this is our life, this is our career, and we take it pretty serious. So, you know, going in, and I don't really know the ins and outs of Deshaun Watson's situation, but obviously he's upset for a good reason. You know, it's not for no reason, you know. So I feel like people should more take a step back and, you know, look at the situation in its totality. And I kind of heard a couple of tidbits from former players and guys like that who say, like, yeah, like, basically you should be quiet and just play the game. But we don't live in that world no more. We're not going to live in that world. And especially with a black player, a young black player who's had some success, who's proven that he's one of the elite quarterbacks in the league. I'm a huge fan of Deshaun Watson. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I think he does some amazing things off the field as well, as far as like giving back. So there's no shunning his character. For a man to be upset, or for a man to want something different for himself, I don't think he's wrong for that. I went for that for myself. I was one of the unique situations that it worked out. And he's one of those guys that's equally, or even maybe even more talented from coming from a quarterback position. And he'll change any team. He changed that Clemson team. He changed the Texans. And the things that transpired these past couple of years, as far as like we're losing DeAndre Hopkins and your favorite wide receiver target for whatever reason, and just this year as far as like management and who was hired and, you know, whoever didn't, if he didn't have a say in it, I feel like that's your starting quarterback. I feel like your quarterback should have somewhat of a, you know, at least have some say so or an opportunity to have some input. And if he didn't, that's something that you should be, you know, noticed or taken upon serious.
Stephon, congratulations on the year you just had. And Deshaun Watson, the difference between you and Deshaun Watson being a quarterback and a national champion before he ever turned pro, had a sterling reputation to the point where people are basically siding with him. Like, you know, if he's beefing with a team, okay, we're all looking at the Texans because you've alienated Deshaun Watson, that's a problem with you. But because you're not a quarterback, you were vilified by many, and you were considered the issue, and then you get to Buffalo, and not only do you ball out, but your quarterback is like, I don't know what people are talking about. This dude is great. What did it mean to you to have the support of Josh Allen so publicly in Buffalo? Because you weren't in the same position as Deshaun Watson. People didn't just give you the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. I would say in my situation, it's harder to be a quarterback. You know, quarterbacks get rectified. They're under the microscope, especially black quarterbacks. Black quarterbacks in the National Football League are under a microscope. As far as like him not having no shun on his character, no chinks in his armor, everybody's behind Deshaun Watson. Going into my new situation, they called me whatever they wanted to call me. They called me a diva. They called me not a team guy. They called me a lot of things. And me going into it is like this: I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to address it. I'm going to take my helmet. I'm going to take my lunch pail, and I'm going to go to work, and I'm going to get to work. And having a quarterback like Josh Allen, the guy that's a lot similar to me as far as like being a perfectionist, a guy that wants to work hard and wants to be great at what he does. For me, it means a lot just because when your quarterback's behind you, it means everything. You know, I go to war for him each and every day. I practice hard for him each and every day. We're striving to be great and going on a battlefield. You trust a guy that got your back. And he never once, you know, he didn't turn his back on me. He didn't say anything slick, or he got my back right or wrong. And I'm rocking with my guy, so. You know, that's something I'm a whole dear to my heart, just because it means a lot.
Stephon, before we get you on out of here, who you got winning the Super Bowl?
This is tough. I recall the last game; it was 27-24. Tyreek Hill had a huge first half, and I feel like the Tampa Bay got things rolling a little bit going into the half. I guess going into the second half, it's going to be a tough game. Patrick Mahomes playing some unbelievable football. I haven't seen nothing like it. They're finding ways to win. They have a good relationship, him, Andy Reid, and all the weapons. But you know, my favorite player is Tom Brady, so I'm gonna go with Tampa.
All right, I'm with it. I'm going with the Bucks too. Stephon, before we let you roll, what are you doing with Old Spice?
Talk a little bit about their new scent. You know, this pandemic has been tough. I don't know how tough it has been on you guys. I'm big on hygiene myself, so I'm talking about their new scent, Dynasty. Cologne-like quality. It smells good. It's at your local Target, so give it a chance. Why give it a chance? If I wear it, Stephen A., you need to, you know, look into it a little bit, or, you know, everybody on this call. Check it out.
I got you.
Hygiene,
I got your smooth breeze. I got your smooth. I got it.
Freshen up.
Thanks, y'all. Appreciate
all right,
y'all
Stephon,
having
me. All right, man.
Appreciate right. you. We'll talk to you soon. Congrats again on an amazing season.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.